Taken from Joshua and chapter 14. Joshua and chapter 14. And verse 6. We were talking this morning about Abraham, who became Abraham. And because he heard God's voice and trusted in him and followed him, he came into a land that was promised but never lived there permanently. This is God's promise being fulfilled many hundreds of years later. And it concerns a man called Caleb. So Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephthah the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country. Give me this mountain that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephthah, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephthah the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. This is God's word for us tonight. Numbers 13 tells some of the story that Caleb has just told. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. From the tribe of Judah, send Caleb, son of Jephthah." And they went to explore the land. And when they came back, 10 said, "The land is great, the food is plentiful, but the people are large. We cannot win." Caleb came back and said, "The land is wonderful, the food is plentiful. Yes, the people are large, the people are strong. But because God has promised, we will win." And God blessed him. It's a story that perhaps some of us know from our Sunday school days about the 12 spies who went to spy in Canaan. And 10 were bad and 2 were good. And they saw all sorts of things in Canaan. And when they came back, they gave a report. And one of the people who went was this man, Caleb, who we're told when he went into the land was 40 years old. Find that passage again. 40 years old. 40. And who was he? Who was this man, Caleb? Well, he was a leader of his tribe. He was a person of influence. And perhaps our first question for tonight is this. We may not think that we're people of influence. We may not think that we're terribly important, but each one of us is influencing somebody. Who are you influencing? Who am I influencing today? Maybe we are influencing our families, our workmates, our friends, our neighbours. But you can be sure we are having an influence. Hopefully, a good influence, not a bad one. Hopefully, a positive one, not a negative one. So he's an important man. He's a man of influence, a man of standing in his tribe. And he's sent by Moses with 11 other people to explore the promised land, to explore the land of Canaan. They've come out of Egypt and they're waiting to see what's going to happen next. And Moses says, I want you to go into that land and see what it's like. Tell me all about it and then come back. Another question. What job, what task has God given you to do today? See, Caleb didn't volunteer for this. It wasn't someone else's idea. God said, from that tribe, you send Caleb. He was God's choice. God has something for each one of us to do. Do you know what it is? And if so, are you doing it? Then he was a man who faced reality. We're told in Numbers chapter 13 that he went into the land with the other spies, the other 11 spies. And they go into the land and they see what it's like. They found a huge branch with a single cluster of grapes on it. Beautiful grapes. They carried them on a pole. So it wasn't the sort of bunch that you're going to get from Tesco's. It was a huge bunch carried on a pole. There were pomegranates and figs. Well, I could do without the figs, but there were pomegranates and there were figs. Everything was as God had promised, beautiful. A land flowing with milk and honey. But they also saw that the people were powerful, that their cities were large, that their cities were strongly defended, and that there were these descendants of these very famous fighters living there. So what were they going to do? 10 of them came back and said, it's no use. We can't do it. They are so much stronger than us. We seem like grasshoppers in comparison to them. They were huge. No chance. So let's not bother. We'll just stay here. But Caleb and Joshua stood up and said something totally different. See, Caleb was a man who faced the truth. He faced reality. He didn't come back and say, yeah, be easy. Everything there's fantastic. No problems, no trouble. Tiny little cities, tiny little armies, not strong at all. He didn't say that. He said, yeah, there are real problems there. We got a huge enemy. But he also, as we were saying this morning about Abraham, believed in the promise of God. You see, God had said, when you come into the land, I will give you. And so Caleb, he sees the problems, but he keeps on believing in what God has said. We have to be careful, don't we? We have to make sure that we see the reality of people's problems, of the world's problems, of our own problems, of the fight that we have against the devil and against sin. There's no point in going around saying, no, it's all easy. There's no problems, it's fine. There are huge problems, big problems, evil and sadness. But we still need to put our trust in the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Leaning on the everlasting arms we sometimes sing. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? We know what it is to face the truth, don't we? About ourselves and about the world in which we live. It can be tough. We are fighting a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and against the devil himself. And so we could all go home and say, it's not worth it, we will never win. But our God has promised that we are on the victory side, that we will win, that he will take us into our promised land, into heaven itself. This was Caleb, a man who saw the reality, but trusted in God. Do we believe the promises of God? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. If we come to him today, he will not turn us away. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will supply our every need. His grace is sufficient for us. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And one day he will come and take us home. These are God's promises and many more. And as I said, as we look around our world, we need to cling on to these with more faith than perhaps ever before. So Caleb was a man of influence. He was a man chosen by God to do a task. He was a man who saw reality and trouble, but still trusted in God. And then he was a man who warned people not to rebel, but encouraged them not to be afraid. Back in the Numbers passage, it says this: do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid. We need to be people who are able to tell other people about the dangers of rejecting God's way and God's word and God's will. But we also need to be people who encourage each other. You know, sometimes a person needs to be warned a bit, and other times someone needs to be encouraged and given a pat on the back and told to carry on. Are we willing sometimes to step out and say, are you really sure you should be doing that? What does God's word say about that? You really need to come to Jesus. You really need to know him. Are we prepared to warn others about danger in this world and the next? And do we encourage people? Don't be afraid. Yes, things look glum, look grim, but don't be afraid because God is with us. Hebrews 10, one of my favorite passages, reminds us that we should encourage one another so that we won't be taken in by sin's deceitfulness. See, the devil will come along and tell us all sorts of things. You really think it's worth it being a Christian? You really think it's worth it giving up your Sundays? You really think it's worth it doing this, that, and the other? It really isn't. Go on, give it all up. You really think it's true what you believe? Really? Jesus died and rose from the dead, forgives your sins, take you to heaven? See, sin is deceitful. So we need to keep on encouraging each other. Don't be afraid. God is with us. He will keep his promises. You see, these 12 spies, they were all people of influence. Some for good and some for bad. The 10 said, let's just stay here. We won't believe what God has said. He might have promised to take us into the promised land, but it's too hard. So we'll just stay here. 2 said, let's trust in God. Let's go forward and fight the battle and do what he says. And you know what happened? The 2 that stood up for God got stoned. The people wanted to kill them. It's a bit of a grim reaction, isn't it? I've never preached like that, so please don't start. But, you know, the preacher stood up and said, let's trust in God, and they all started throwing stones at him. That's what happened to them. But because the people believed the 10, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. That's why we have to be so careful how we influence people. How are we living? What are we saying? What are we doing? Are we warning? Are we encouraging? And then we read that he was a man who followed God wholeheartedly. I love that. I don't think he was boasting. I don't think he was trying to stand up and make a big deal of himself. But here he is, and he goes to Joshua, and he says, you remember that time 40 years ago, Joshua? Do you remember when we went into the promised land and we spied it out and we came back and no one listened to us? Then they tried to stone us. Well, we're still here. I've served the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, I'm sure he's not saying that he'd never done anything wrong. I'm sure he's not saying that he never had his moments of doubt. But deep down in his heart, he had resolved to follow God. Have we decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, though none go with us, no matter whatever happens. Will we again tonight promise God that we will serve him wholeheartedly? Then he was a man who remained faithful and strong. Here he is, 45 years later. And he is still following. He was 40, now he's 85. He's still following. Only he and Joshua from the original older men are left. Even Moses has gone. Even Moses didn't quite make it. Not till Jesus came, and then Moses got into the promised land then. Only the 2 of them from their generation are left. And he comes along and he says, I'm still strong. I'm still keen. I'm still following. I'm still serving. I'm still fighting. Let me go and capture that mountain over there. You know, I don't think that Caleb had had an easy time. You know, we sometimes say, don't we, put your trust in Jesus and follow him and you will have a wonderful life full of blessing. Now, I'm sure we'll get the blessing. But, you know, at age 40, Caleb goes into the promised land. He comes back and gives a report and tells people to trust God. And what happens? They all say, what a great fella. No. They want to stone him to death. He walks as a result of their disobedience through the desert for 45 years. Wasn't his fault they were there. He had to go with them. He saw all his friends of his generation die in the desert. He saw the people again and again complain and grumble and criticize and fall away from God. Do you think even once he might have been tempted to think, I thought God had promised to be with me. Why are all these horrible things happening? But he still carried on being faithful. Because he kept on believing that he would get into the promised land, because that's what God had told him. You and Joshua will get into the promised land. You know, I'm sure from time to time, at least in a way I hope you do as well as I do, we all have our doubts. Why is this happening to me? What's going on here? Has God really said that? Yes, he has. And at age 85, Caleb is still trusting, still following, still wanting to serve God. Perhaps none of us here are as old as Caleb. I think not. But we may not be as fit and strong as Caleb. I don't think many 85-year-olds can say that they were as strong as they were at 40. I don't know. But God still has something for each one of us to do. We are still fit enough, strong enough, and useful enough to do whatever it is God wants us to do. So whether we've trusted him for a few weeks, a few years, 40 years, 50 years, I don't know. Are we still trusting? Are we still strong in the Lord? Are we still following wherever he leads us? As we sang this morning, God will make a way where there seems to be no way as he leads us through the desert and the wilderness. Are we prepared to keep on trusting and obeying him? See, a very similar theme to this morning. Trusting and obeying. Being faithful. Being like Caleb. Being like Joshua. And their reward was to go into that promised land and to be established there and to dwell there. And when we are called to follow Jesus, we put our life and our eternity into his hands. That's a big trust, isn't it? So we have to know who we're putting our trust in. But day by day, whether we're going through the land that is plentiful or the desert place, we keep on trusting. We keep on praising. We keep on following. We keep on working, and we say to God, what is it you want me to do? Do you want me to go and tell someone about you? Invite somebody to something? Write a letter? Whatever it might be to extend your kingdom. Give some money. What do you want me to do? Because whatever it is, I will do it in your strength and in your help. And so this evening we think about Caleb, a man of influence. Who are we influencing today? There used to be a song that said something like this: what is the gospel according to you? If you are a Christian, you're a sermon in shoes. Wherever we go, we're influencing somebody. for good or for bad? Are we prepared to tell the truth, even though sometimes people might not like it? Are we prepared to put our trust in God, that He will keep His promises, even though it took 45 years? Has God ever made you a promise and He still hasn't brought it into fruition? Yeah, 45 years is a long time, isn't it? You know, we were hearing about someone this morning. I don't know if God had made them a promise. 13 years? Expecting a baby? That's a long time. 45 years to wait to get into the promised land? You know, sometimes God might not answer our prayers until we get to heaven. But will we keep on trusting in Him? Let's be like Caleb. Let me go and fight on the Lord's side. Let me go and influence others for Him. And I'm going to put my trust in Him because He is the one who leads me. Trust in You alone. Whether You make me lie in pastures green, or lead me by the still waters, or walk with me through the darkest path. For You are with me, and Your rod and Your staff are the comfort I need to know. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word, which gives us examples of people who have put their trust in You. We thank You that this morning we thought about Abraham, who left everything to find a city and put his trust in You. And we thank You for Caleb, who despite all the opposition and all the problems that he went through, for all his life served You wholeheartedly, and he received Your blessing. Father, we pray that each one of us, as we put our trust in You, not just once, but day by day, will know Your leading, Your guidance, and Your strength, and that You will help us to live lives that please You and bless others. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen."